Thank you, Mr. Steele, and we appreciate the music we had today, just like I agree with you, Matt, that the music does uplift a lot of times. When we were back in the meeting back here, I was getting tired, and I said, well, if I was at home now and I'm not working, it's nap time. But just the music, hearing that, the beautiful music, the words of it, the rhythm, it really rejuvenated me. So I've got some enthusiasm now. One thing they told us in the old speech club. Yeah, thank you. Hey, hey, man, down here, hallelujah. We're not that way. Sorry about that. I got off without my stopwatch. Lawrence used to ask me, why do you do that? Why don't you watch the clock? And I said, I don't know what time I started, and I don't like to go over. And Mr. Maddox down here, Mr. Coleman, showed me how to do my stopwatch on my phone. Thank you. Yeah, Terry said, just ask these young people, and that's true. Anyway, it's good to see everybody here today. I like to see the young people in here, too. It's really a pleasure to have all them, and I made a comment the last time. It's really a blessing to we older people to see the young people, especially the teenagers, serving and doing different things. It's really really tremendous, and you're going to be benefited by it, too. So we appreciate all the young people. We go to some of the churches of God, and you stand in the back and you look, and mostly you see white hair. But you stand in the back of our room, and you'll see a lot of brunettes and blondes and brown-headed and all kinds of things. And people like me, we're getting to be the few. I'm not the oldest one. I'm about third or fourth in line. I think there's two or three people here ahead of me. So I'm going to try to keep up with them. But anyway, good to see y'all here. About a month ago, I gave a message, and I had the title on it. Let me get back to that. Somebody asked me back there when they saw the title, am I going to sing that song? No, I didn't. You don't hear me sing. You wouldn't ask me that. But that wasn't my original title. It came to me after I was doing it. I thought, well, yeah, why me? So anyway, but a month ago, I was talking about gave some messages over the last few years at funerals and at weddings. And at funerals, I get into the point I like to debunk some of the things that they say, you know, about someone being in hell and burning and all that. And I don't do it to be mean, to be hateful to them, to be controversial. But as I said in a message, I do it basically for comfort, because all of us know people that in the world, not to be judgmental, but we know people that if we were in somebody's other church, we'd say, well, that person, they're probably going to hell, because I know the lifestyle they live, and they're down there frying. And I even had one gentleman tell me before that message there that a close relative of his was lamenting over, I think, an aunt or sister or something rather than him, and he had the same thought. Had the same thought, you know, think, well, you know, Aunt so-and-so, she's probably down there frying right now. So anyway, and hopefully the gentleman gets to listen to that message sometime and look in the Bible, and I tell the people too. And I preached it when I've been honored. I feel honored to do it. I feel inadequate, but I feel honored to have been asked to do some of these things. And some of them, they're Catholics out there, and you know what their doctrines are. And but I tell them, I said, you know, I'm not trying to sway you around, but you know, look in your own Bible. I didn't get in there and write that down last week. I don't print that well. So anyway, that's what it was, just a highlight of what I did do. But I didn't have a chance to take it much further, and hopefully if any of them question me on the side, that I can be capable enough to at least answer some of the questions. And today I'm going to go just a little bit further on that, and I'm going to go into the point. A lot of people think today God and Satan is in a battle for our souls. And when we look around in the world and you say, well, here's the standard of Satan and here's the standard of God, well, we see a lot of, I mean, there are good people out here, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good people out here, but we see a lot of things out here that Satan does have a sway over a lot of people in this world, and probably us too, and I know he would have me. I know what I was before. Mr. Gregory used to be pastor, asked me one time on the way to Oklahoma City, what do you want on your tombstone? And I hadn't really even thought about it, but I got thinking afterwards, I sure hope it's not on my tombstone what I was like when I was in high school or when I was in junior high. I hope that that's not on my tombstone. I hope it's back when I did a few good things, you know, with God's help. So anyway, but today I'm going to let you know that God is not in a battle with Satan right now. And I've got just a handful of scriptures. There's a lot of scriptures here. And if I'd known that was that this week we're going to go 15 over? You're trying to bring my other message out of my briefcase up here. No, just joking. No, I planned on being a short one today, but I do digress. Catch up with my notes. Okay? I already told you what I'm going to do. Okay. God is the point I'm going to bring out. A lot of people don't understand, but that's a little bit part of the next phase that we're going to go into. God is not calling, believe it or not calling everyone at this age. He's not calling everybody at this age. If he is, you know, he's really not doing a good job of it. But God is not calling everybody in this day and age, and there's a reason. He has a plan, and I'm not going to take all the time today to go into that, and you'll get a lot of this coming up into our holy days as we start off here in, what, a month or so, Passover, and then Pentecost, and on down through the fall festivals. And a lot of this stuff, you'll have answers. And anyway, the people online, we miss you. We know some of you are not here today, and we miss you. And anyway, I'm going to do just a few scriptures. First of all, we'll go to New Testament, the book of John. John 6, chapter and verse 33, Jesus talking. I didn't have time to get into a whole lot of other stuff, but we'll break into thoughts and get the main thing that Jesus was saying. John 6, verse 33. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. God draws us to Jesus, and I will raise him up at the last day. And I mentioned this in a message a few years ago. There are some of the older people that have been around for a while. They probably remember me saying this, because I remember some of them, they had a Bible on their phone, and they were looking at it. Is that what he really said? But the word draw, when Jesus says that he draws, that the Father has sent me, draw him, that has a connotation of not a just, you know, come on down. It's like dragging somebody. It's like dragging us. And sometimes we might feel like we've been dragged. But the other word, it has a connotation, it drag. And it's, and that's, I think I did put the word down here, the Greek word, and I don't pronounce Greek very well, but in the English, it says helko. Anyway, it's number 1670. Knows that you have your little pocket calendar or deals out there. You can should. And it's another word, I didn't put it down for time's sake, but it also has another offshoot on that too, which can mean coil. You know, you coil and then drag them in. Back in the old cowboy days when we used to watch cowboy and Indian shows years ago, they'd have a whip, you know, and they'd wrap that whip out there and wrap it around somebody and draw them in, you know. Well, that's what that part of that connotation is, to wrap them up and drag them in. God is dragging us in. Now, sometimes we don't know necessarily. We'll go over another scripture in, actually it's in the same chapter. I'm leaving out quite a bit right now, going from John 6, verse 63 through 66, Jesus speaking again. It is a spirit that quickens, the flesh that profits. Oh, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. 64. But there are some of you that believe not, and there's probably some that don't even believe me. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who would betray him. Jesus knew that. And he said, therefore I said unto you, no man and woman, we can be man and woman, but no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of the Father. You're here and I'm here today. We get the idea, oh, I'm so smart, I work, and I've spent so many hours studying, I've got this translation, I've got that, and I can almost speak hippopotamus language, and so I'm really smart. Well, God gave you the desire to do it, whether you want to believe it or not. And I know he did me. I definitely wasn't seeking for it. My wife and I were trying to prove it wrong. Some of the booklets we were taking from the old church, we were trying to prove them wrong. Yeah. Oh, well, got away from my stopwatch, so when you get ready, come on up. Anyway, where was I? Anyway, but God draws us. I'll just look up there and see what, is that the scripture I'm on now? What is that? I can't even read it. But there's some of you that believe not for Jesus. I'm reading pretty fast. No man can come to me except it were given of you of the Father. Verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And there's probably been people who have come in here that quit working with us simply because we have this belief that Jesus calls, God calls, and not everybody in the world right now is having their final chance for salvation. And we know that, and we have plenty of booklets to do that. There's other churches of God, even in the Tulsa area, and I'm putting a plug in for them too, that they have, there's plenty of information going around that shows the things that we're saying. It may sound a little hard, but it's up to us to prove it. So that, anyway, they quit going. There's some of us that meet here in church. I mentioned that, didn't I? Anyway, because we teach that everyone, and we teach that there's more than one resurrection. I'm not going to get into all that part of it either. Here's a scripture in the New Testament, Matthew 11th chapter, Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, O Father. And here's just an aside. You know, people used to come around and tell us, well, you've got to speak in a certain language, you know, you've got to pronounce God's name a certain way and all that. And here Jesus says, oh, Father. And you look it up in the Greek, and he's not giving some funny sounding name. You can do that if you want to, if that makes you feel better. But Jesus says, oh, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise. What? You mean God's not trying to get everybody to understand? Because you hid these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to you and me, the babes. He's revealed those things to us. And aren't we so glad? Why did he choose us? Verse 26, even so, Father, Jesus calls him Father again, for so it seems good in your sight. So if you have a problem with that, why God's not calling everybody, go you talk to God himself about it and see if he'll give you an answer. But even so, for it seemed good for you in your sight, God. God's seen what he has in mind. Verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knows any man the Father, save he the Son to whom he to whomsoever the Son will reveal. So God and Jesus, either one or both, have the ability and desire to call us, to give us the insight that we have, give us the motivation to do that. And some of the people that I know in our group that have sacrificed a great deal simply because they had the compulsion, I've got to be there. I've got to be with that group. I've got to be there for the Sabbath. I've got to do this. And, you know, not maybe quite to the same extent that the apostles went through and a lot of the early Christians that were burned to the stake and all of the horrible things, but many of our people have had a compulsion. God has given them through the Holy Spirit the desire to be here. I gotta quit digressing. It is the Spirit that quickens I'm down there in Matthew. My wife tells me you get lost a lot of times. She said, I'm going to get a correction tonight when I get home, which I need. I really need that. Give me the bag. I get wound up and I forget what I am. I have a senior moment or somebody else's moment, whatever. Anyway, I won't go there. That sounds political. Even so, if I'll seem good to you, okay. Okay, we'll get down here and we'll close out here. Many of us ask, and have you asked yourself, why me, why you? I mean, you probably did ask why me, I know, but have you ever asked for yourself, why are you here? You know, some of us, if you're like me, I have three brothers and a sister, and all four of them, I wonder, why did God choose me, you know? And my siblings would probably say the same thing. And in fact, I know some of them said that to my face, you know, something similar to that, you know, and I don't blame them because I was, anyway, but why me? Why didn't he do that? Why didn't he choose some of our schoolmates? You probably have schoolmates that you remember that were very bright, very smart, and maybe they were even on the bandwagon for Christ. Why didn't God reveal that to them instead of you? Many of our friends I thought were more qualified than what I am, and sometimes even your neighbors. And as Arnold Schwarzenegger says, neighbor, even your neighbors. You know, have you ever seen that commercial? It's a fairly new commercial. I kind of like it. You know, he's old, about like I am now, and he's giving this commercial and something rather about your neighbor, and the director stops and says, no, neighbor. He said, well, that's what I said, neighbor. Anyway, so some of your neighbors are probably better than you. I've got some very good neighbors in my neighborhood. I've lived in the same house for, what is it, around 52, 53 years? And we've had neighbors that's been there about 3 months less than us. We've got good neighbors in my neighborhood. I really do. And anyway, one more scripture. 1 Corinthians, first chapter. We've got into this several weeks ago. 1 Corinthians 1:22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. And our religion's foolish to a lot of people. It really is. But unto them which are called, and there's a lot to this too, and it's encouraging if you have the time. I don't have the time to go into that. The called, that God only calls certain people, both Jews and Greeks. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many men are mighty, not many noble, and the next words in the King James says, are called. It doesn't change the meaning of it, but the word are called on this particular point is not even in the original manuscript. And some of the other translations, I think, say that. It doesn't change the meaning of it. It just takes that word out, and sometimes you take a word out, it doesn't mean anything. But I'll read it as it says in my King James. Not many noble men are called, but God has chosen the foolish things. That's people like me and close to me. My wife is smart, but I'm not. But anyway, foolish things of the world to confound the wise, that God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So just a bunch of us Okies, you know, and some of us maybe be from Texas and Kansas and some other places, but, you know, we're just common old folk, and people wonder about us, you know, and just like they wondered about the apostles. Well, I know you have this dialect, you know, Peter and all you guys. And verse 28, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised has God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Why does God make those kind of choices? You know, and I'm not going to sing that song. But why does he make them choices? Verse 29, that no flesh can glory in his presence. We can't glory because we have the truth. We are should be so humbled. I'm humbled basically just the fact that I say, you know, why me? Why me, Lord?